97 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
Live from the Auction Community Studios, Burns and Gambo here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. On the one hand, I got Josh Weinfuss from ESPN.com writing an article which has the headline, "Has Arizona Reached Its Ceiling Under Cliff Kingsbury?" And it's an article with a lot of the things that we've talked about. Yes, they've improved. They've gone from 3 to 5 to 8 to 11 wins, but points out the poor finishes, how that's become a thing for nearly a decade now under Cliff Kingsbury, whether it's at Texas Tech or with the Arizona Cardinals. Then, on the other hand, I got a story from our buddy over at CardsWire.com and Jess Root in which they make the case for not firing Cliff. And understand this, Gambo, you and I had this conversation yesterday, and you asked me to pick a side, and I did, and I chose the side of I would move on from Cliff Kingsbury if I were the Arizona Cardinals, but I understand that this is a very, very subtle, nuanced kind of argument here where there are cases to be made on both sides of the equation. I would move on because I just, in my heart of hearts, I just don't think he's the guy, and I think they're going to move on one way or another, one day or another from Cliff Kingsbury, and I'd kind of rather do it now when you've got a chance to start that process, but I understand the case for keeping him very much so.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the argument two ways, right? And if you make any argument against Cliff, you're going to look at the collapses in all 3 years, the collapses, the inability to get this team up for a playoff game, and just the belief that, you know, that he can't take this team any further, that he'll win you some games in the regular season, but he's not the guy that's going to win you playoff games. He's not the guy that's going to take you to the Super Bowl, and he may not be the guy to get the maximum out of your players. I mean, that would be the negatives. The positives, and, you know, and these are hard to ignore, is that he did take over a team that won 3 games, and then they won 5, and then they won 8, and then they won 11, and they went to the playoffs. And, you know, for a lot of people, that's enough to say, how do you fire a guy to won 11 games? And they were a three win team and had the number one overall pick in the draft. Now they're picking 23rd. Like, so that's enough to say, let's give him another year and see. I mean, you know, he's got to get better. He's got to mature and get better as a coach. And if he doesn't, well, then this will be his last year coming up.
Yeah, I don't want to sit here and lay this all at the feet of Cliff Kingsbury. And I certainly don't want to sit here and suggest that if you make a change at head coach for the Cardinals, that suddenly everything's going to get better next year. They could regress next year with or without Cliff as their coach in terms of the win-loss record. The schedule next year is tough, and beyond that, just the idea that 50% of the teams every single year that do make the playoffs don't the next year. The Cardinals might very well succumb to all of that.
Right.
There's
no debate, right?
I'm sorry?
Cardinals go 7-10 next year, don't make the playoffs, and, you know, we're still having some doubts about Kyler. At that point, there's no debate on what they do at coach, correct?
No, there's no debate at all. And I think, man, we sit here, all right, the case for Cliff Kingsbury. He's one of two coaches when they've moved to Arizona with an 11-win season. All right, how do you fire a guy like that, right? But then you think, man, this is only their sixth playoff appearance since they've moved to Arizona. Now, I know there were some really bad years in there. So there were some really just almost pathologically bad years in there for the Cardinals. But it seems to me that there's a lot more going on with the Cards than just who their head coach is. You remember, I'm looking at Kurt Warner up on NFL Network right now, and I'm reminded of the fact, you know, that since the day he retired as the quarterback of the Cards, they've won one playoff game since then.
One playoff game.
One?
Yeah, and it was something a lot of people like to point out about, that they've only won 6 playoff games total and since they've been here. Is that what that number is?
They've gone to the playoffs 6 times.
That's what it is.
Total.
They've gone to the playoffs
since they've been. Okay,
yeah.
That's not just a Cliff Kingsbury issue, you know? There's so much more going on. So I can understand, from Michael Bidwell's standpoint, I can see him thinking, wait a minute, I've only been to the playoffs 6 times, and you're telling me I should fire the coach who's responsible for one of the 6? You know, there's kind of an inherent craziness to all of that, and yet it is, for me, very hard to ignore the second half collapses. It's hard to ignore the Kyler Murray, yep. You know, he's not fully developed right now. You'd like to think that he'd be more of a finished product at this point than what we saw in the second half of the season and what we saw in that playoff game. And to me, those are enough questions that I think in my mind, I am ready to move on, but I understand that it'd be a very difficult thing to do for the Cards organization.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I listen, I get it too. Like, if they would have came out yesterday and they said, that's it for Cliff, he's fired, I think, wow, okay. I mean, I think you could have justified it. I think you could have understood it. I think you bring him back for 1 year. I'm not giving him an extension. I'm not giving Kyler an extension. But I bring him back based on, God, there is progress. There is something to say about going from 3 wins to 5 to 8 to 11.
Oh, yeah.
God, I know. I hate the way it ended. I do. I hate the way it ended. And I don't know, like, if you're asking me what's your faith level that Cliff is the right guy, I'm not saying I'm 80% sure that Cliff is going to be. I'm not sure. I want to see more. I want to see more. Which is why I would be okay with just, you know, one more year to see if he can get it done.
Well, and you certainly don't, and I guess that's probably the middle ground in all of this, is that you don't fire him, but you don't extend him, and certainly it stands the reason that there's not going to be any kind of Cliff Kingsbury extension after the way they fell apart. It's just, you go into next season and Cliff Kingsbury is the coach, all right? Even if he gets off to a 7-1 start, an 8-2 start. The problem for Cliff is that no one's going to believe it. No one's going to buy it. No one's going to know for sure that Cliff has fixed what it is that hasn't worked until you get to December 1st. And that's just a long time to wait for a payoff on whether you've made the right decision, you know, on keeping him or not. If they get off to a poor start, you might hit the bye week whenever it is next year,
and then go Vance and Joseph, your coach,
yeah, and say, man, we should have made a move when we did. Now, if you were to make a move, hypothetically, that would be what, 9 coaching vacancies now in the NFL? It's a long line, and here's a question I don't have an answer for.
It's a good point.
I don't have an answer for the, well, then who's your head coach? You know, is it Vance? Is it Sean Coogler? Is it, I don't know. Usually, when I advocate moving on from a coach, it's because I've got a specific guy in mind that I would want to be the coach. I don't have the answer to that question. I have no idea who I would want to be the coach of the Cardinals, which is also a flimsy position to kind of be standing on when you advocate getting rid of the head coach. I have this feeling in my heart of hearts that he's not the guy, Gambo, and it's just as simple as that for me, you know?
Listen, there is something to say about Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles and their time here, and whether they would, you know, whether the Cardinals could jump to the front of the line, you know, with those guys over some of the other vacancies. But look, everybody else is ahead of them in the vacancies right now. There's 8 head coaching vacancies. These other teams got the head start. I mean, how do you fire a guy to won 11 games and went to the playoffs? It would be odd. Like, I think it would be odd to do it. Fire a coach that won 11 games and took your team to the playoffs after just a few years ago, when you hired him 3 years ago, they were kind of off a 3-win season.
Yeah.
But so many people, right, just the initial anger and reaction is fire him and fire him and fire him and fire him. I want them all fired. That's the initial reaction.
Of course.
I will not say anything about the people who think that he should be fired. I respect that opinion. I think you bring him back. They will bring him back.
And I'm kind of thinking that they will too, but we'll see what happens the rest of this week. But I'm at this point sort of assuming that they will in fact bring him back. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, Cardinals got off to the 7-0 start. They were the toast of the NFL. Were there issues going on with the team even then that 7-0 were covering up? An interesting comment from one of the players that we will talk about coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
John Gambadero, Dave Burns here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, with the Burns and Gambo show. We've looked, right, Eric? We've looked for the audio on this one. Oh, Eric's not in there. Lauren doesn't know what I'm talking about, so I won't ask her. But I think we looked for this audio, and we couldn't find it. I'd love to play it for you so we could hear everything about the context in which it was said and kind of how it was said and things like that. But, Gambo, I don't have the audio cut, so I'm just going to have to read the quote. And I think it's just in and of itself, it's an interesting thing that we can talk about for a few minutes. Defensive end Zach Allen of the Cards, and this is from a story on azcentral.com written by our friend Bob McManaman, who was, you know, writing kind of his season recap of the Cards, and we'll pass along some of the other things he wrote as well, because there's some interesting things to talk about in there. But defensive end Zach Allen, he writes, had an interesting theory when asked if the team that played the final 2 months of the season felt like the same team that began 7-0 and appeared to be the class of the entire NFL. Quote, I think when we were 7-0, it definitely covered up some mistakes, he said, noting trouble was lurking even then. I think we did deserve to win those games, close quote. But going back to what he said at the beginning, I think when we were 7-0, it definitely covered up some mistakes. I know, right? Like, I'd love to hear more about that, what exactly that means necessarily.
I'm fascinated by this. Let's go beat the Titans. They beat the hell out of the Titans on the road. Oh, Kyler was great. 416 yards of offense. Kirk was good. Moore had four catches. They had nine quarterback hits, eight tackles. Nothing in there made me think that. Okay, beat the Vikings 34-33. Corey Joseph missed the field goal as time expired. Okay. All right. I mean, Kyler had 400 yards passing and three touchdowns, but he did throw two picks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Moore got out of bounds with 1 second left at the end of the first half and set up a 62-yard field goal. I mean, kind of a lucky play. Okay. Moore had a great game. Hopkins had a touchdown. Okay. All right. Beat the Jaguars. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's talk about this for a second. They were down 19-10 to the Jaguars.
About halfway through the third quarter, right?
Second half. They missed a 68-yard field goal and had a return for a 109-yard touchdown. Remember that?
It made Chris Berman's top 10 plays of the NFL season.
I was just going to say it made that play.
Yeah, I remember that play because when Chris Berman was running through his top 10 plays of the year, he had that play on his list. Okay, please continue.
Here's where this is going to start to make some sense. The Jaguars ran the ball down their throats.
Mm-hmm.
Down their throats, they ran the ball. Okay. Rams game, they win 37-20. They snap an 8-game losing streak. Best win of the Cliff era.
I
can't find fault with that. Let's go to the next one. They beat the 49ers 17-10. No Byron Murphy or Marco Wilson. They were outgained 338-304. But they did stop San Francisco on 4 out of 5 fourth downs in that game. They did stop them. Their defense was good. Kyler was okay. Got sacked a couple of times. It was good pressure inside. I mean, okay, so if I look at Kyler there, I could start to see that maybe Kyler in that game was not good. The Cardinals were held to 94 yards rushing on 24 carries, only 3.5 yards. Chase fumbled. Okay. Okay, I could start to see Trey Lance rush the hell out of the ball against them, right?
Yep.
Trey Lance.
That's about all he did against them, but
okay,
yeah.
I could see some there. Browns, they win that game 34-17. They were up 20-0. They gave up the Hail Mary at the end of the first half. They gave up that Hail Mary. Defense had 5 sacks. Now, the Browns didn't have Nick Chubb, so they were able to hold their rushing game down quite a bit. Okay, I'm just trying to see if there's any. Now we get to 7-0. They beat the Texans. Kyler sacked 4 times, hit hard that entire game.
He was. And if I remember right, didn't that game get off to a real slow start for the Cardinals? Like a really slow start?
They didn't have Zach Allen. They didn't have Chandler Jones. They didn't have Corey Peters. J.J. Watt hurt his shoulder in that game.
They were down 2-0 after the end of the first quarter.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's what it was. I'm looking at the box score now. Yeah, they did. They got off to a slow start, and then they had a 17-3 second quarter, and they kind of took control of that game.
I'm just trying to go game by game, seeing if after 7 games we might have said, okay, there's a little issue with the rush defense. They had some slow starts. They weren't getting a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks in a bunch of those games. So I wonder if we would have looked at – so if at 7-0, if we could have gone back in time and said, look, we know there's some issues that were covered up when it was 7-0. Let's go back to week 7 after that game and decide, well, what are the issues that are covered up? I mean, is there anything that would have stood out to you? I mean, I just went through the 7 games.
I mean, the rush defense is the one that stands out because we all knew that was a soft spot, right? You know what? Looking back on it, it's so difficult to answer this question without factoring in kind of what we know now and what we didn't know then. But I think part of it was how well the secondary was playing. And you know me, I'm always going to go back to the secondary. But the secondary seemed to be playing pretty well early on. And that was a very pleasant surprise for the Cardinals through those first 7 games. Like, hey, you know what? Malcolm Butler, who? You know, they're fine. Is Marco Wilson cat? He's doing great. And Robert Alford's hanging in there. And Byron Murphy, man, what a start to the season he's off to. I think he won a defensive player of the week somewhere in those first 7 games, if memory serves. And I think we might have been a little fooled by how well the secondary was playing early on in the season, like everything was going to be okay, and they had the depth issues they had at that position wasn't going to be an issue when it was all said and done.
Can I bring up one more thing?
Sure, give it to me.
I have in my notes that Josh Jones was awful in the Texans game. That's why Kyler got hit so hard. Could that have been a little sign that maybe their golden boy in Josh Jones was going to start to falter right there? That could have been one of those signs? My notes say that Josh Jones was absolutely brutal in the game against the Texans, and Kyler got hit hard that game.
Yeah, he was
he
was a problem the second half of the season.
And that could have been the sign right there. That could have been the sign.
Potentially one of them. Yeah, I mean, there was a few in nobody in real time. We were all enjoying 7-0. We were all. I mean, there was. You know, we were.
Yeah.
We probably look. If we were being honest about it, we probably knew they shouldn't have beat Minnesota, right? I mean, they probably shouldn't have been a 2-0 team. All you got to do is, what was the yardage on that kick? It was like 38, 39 yards.
Which game?
The Minnesota game. The Joseph kick that he missed at the end of the game.
He missed a 37-yard field goal as time expired.
I mean, that's right. I mean, that's the biggest.
Oh, and they moved the ball on him. They got the ball at the 23-yard line with 2:09 left. They drove 9 plays, 58 yards, 17 yards to Cook, 12 to Thielen. The Vikings were down, I think, I'm not sure who was down. Somebody was down 20-7. I didn't put that down. But the Vikings moved the ball all the way down the field to set up that field goal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so easy. Look, it's so easy to play the hindsight game and look back at it and say, yeah, we should have known. We should have seen it coming. If A.J. Green turns around properly on Thursday night, the Cardinals are 8-0.
Okay, but if you extend it one more game, if you extend it to 8 games instead of 7, you know who else ran the ball all over them? Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
151 yards.
Oh, they were missing all their guys. Yeah.
They had 78 of the 151 yards were after contact. So if we extended it to the 8th game, Green Bay didn't have their top 3 wide receivers, and they won that game. And they ran the ball down their throats. Just like Jacksonville. Was it Jacksonville that I said that ran the ball down their throats?
Yes, the same one. Yeah.
So maybe if you extend it one more game, you could start to see. I am fascinated by that. That is really interesting that people could look and say, hey, there were some issues after 7 games. I might take it to 8 games so I can include the Green Bay game, and I might buy some of that.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the Kyler Murray conversation. At one point in time, we were counting down the days to a $40 million contract extension per year. Now we're not sure what to expect or when to expect it. That's coming up here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM Arizona's Sports Station. Burns and Gambo.
I'm going to tell you, though, I don't think the Cardinals key has reached their ceiling because I believe in Kyler Murray. I believe that Kyler Murray could be better. I think that last night he was atrocious.
Yeah.
It was the worst performance I've seen of his career. I've never seen Kyler Murray look as bad as he looked in that first half. It was complete panic. And We've never associated that with him. We've seen poise. We've seen his ability to motor. We've seen his wheels. We point to those kind of things. And we said, okay, you know what? Stuff might not work out. Some things may be more successful than others. But we've never seen him look in over his head so flagrantly as he was last night, particularly in that first half. I don't recall ever associating the word atrocious with one of his performances until last night.
Obviously, that was Stephen A. Smith on ESPN yesterday talking about Kyler Murray on the heels of his, and that's the right word, Stephen A., atrocious performance against the L.A. Rams in that playoff game. And it's because of that performance and all of the questions that have kind of splintered off after that performance that have us all thinking, Gambo, about Kyler Murray in a brand new way, ways that we just weren't expecting to think about Kyler Murray. I think we all anticipated that at some point this offseason, Kyler Murray was going to get that contract extension, and now you have a hard time finding anybody who thinks that it's even going to be offered to him at this point during that. And I know that's just fan speculation and media speculation, but man, one performance really shifted that narrative in a big hurry when it comes to Kyler. And I don't hear Gambo. So we are.
Must have me off.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, we've
must
got.
Must be a button that they're not pushing back there.
A button. We got the button pushed,
you got
Gambo.
The button
we're
pushed.
All good. The button is
all
pushed.
Right.
We're good. Gambo's, for those of you who don't know, Gambo's working from home, and it requires a button to be pushed.
I rely on people to push buttons back at the station for me to be heard.
Which is odd, because you're usually so good at pushing other people's buttons, Gambo. That's.
It's
unusual that the roles have been reversed like that. Please,
if I would have said what's the odds when they were 10-2 and Kyler Murray was an MVP candidate, what's the odds that he doesn't get a new deal this year? You would have been like, oh no, he's getting a new deal this year.
Of course,
we all would have thought that he was getting a new deal this year. We all would have. So it is interesting that the way it ended up was he's not getting a new deal. That, you know, I really doubt it. I'd be surprised and shocked. I think the only way they do a deal is if they could get pennies on the dollar and he'd be willing to take a deal because they're paying him based on his stock is low. Because his stock is lower now. I mean, it's definitely lower. I mean, you ask a GM, what would you have paid Kyler Murray when he was 7-0 when he was an MVP candidate, and it might have been $35 to $40 million.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you ask him now, it might be, you know what, I'd rather wait, but if I had to pay him, I'll give him 22 to 25. So you'd be buying low.
You would be. And I do think that there's, as we've said many times on the show, and if you're just tuning into us for the first time, we've talked about Kyler a lot today. I do think it certainly doesn't hurt to ask if you're the Cardinals to see if you can get him at a rate that's not the going rate for elite quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't think he'd accept it, but like a lot of things in life, it never hurts to ask just to be sure, and maybe there is a chance you could get him on something less than a going rate for a superstar kind of quarterback. Look, this whole conversation can very quickly take the tone of man, like Kyler Murray, we don't believe in him, we don't want him, we don't want him around, we don't think he's a franchise quarterback, and none of that is completely true. I think we're all just still so surprised at how uncommonly bad he was in that game, how unusually bad he was in that game. Because Stephen A., and I don't really agree with a lot of what Stephen A. says, everything he said about Kyler Murray was spot on. It was just so out of character. It was so unexpected. It was so unusual for him to be that bad. We've seen average Kyler Murray. We've seen below average Kyler Murray. We've seen mediocre Kyler Murray from time to time. We've never seen that out of Kyler.
No. And for a coach saying, I expect him to play his best game ever, and he has his worst game ever,
yeah.
One of the worst games for any rookie quarterback in the history of the NFL playoffs. I mean, I think what Cordell Stewart was the only guy that was on the same level. I mean, it is fascinating to think that, Joe Burrow had no problem. Right? No problem in his first playoff game. He
None.
Went out there and kicked some ass,
yes,
Joe Burrow.
He looked great. He looked great.
And if Kyler would have looked great, sign him. But now you're going to wait. There's no doubt in my mind that they are going to wait. And there's no reason not to. You got him under contract next year. You got the option. Wait. Just wait. So wait and see what happens, you know, and see what he does next year.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because in one of the 10,000 stories I read about the Cardinals this morning, I stumbled on one from our colleague Josh Weinfuss over at ESPN.com. And it was a story mostly about Cliff and whether Arizona has reached its ceiling under Cliff. But he had this line about Kyler and the contract extension, and I wanted to talk about this for a minute or two. He wrote, "There's always the chance the Cardinals decline to extend Murray after this year, pick up his fifth-year option this offseason, and then wait and see." And in parentheses, I would add that you and I both think that's exactly what the Cardinals should do right now.
Yes.
But he also writes, "There's a risk and a reward to that. The risk is that Murray may not be happy with that decision, and the Cards could be creating a rift in their relationship with Kyler Murray." And that's kind of, that's 100% like, yeah, so what? You know?
He may not be happy. Shouldn't have played better.
Yeah.
"Hey, we're not going to extend you. I'm not happy." Well, then you should have played better.
Play better.
You should have played better. You shouldn't have looked like a scared cat out there.
Yeah, because
I mean, come on, Billy. That's a bunch of garbage.
I'm afraid at upsetting Kyler Murray, so I'm going to offer him $40 million so as what? Not to offend him? You know, I'm worried about offending Kyler Murray. So
who's saying this?
This is Josh Weinfuss wrote this.
He does a good job, right? So I'm not going to criticize him.
I was surprised when I read it too. I just don't think that's, that's a risk you worry about taking if you're the Cardinals.
Because
when you're talking about spending $40 million to make a guy your franchise quarterback, if indeed that's what the price ends up being, you don't make that decision on a whim, you know?
Hey, DeAndre Ayton didn't get his max contract, did he?
No, he did not.
Is he playing poorly this year?
No, he's not.
No, he's playing great this year,
isn't
he?
Very well, yeah.
Right, you know why? Because he wants that bag. He wants that bag. And he wants it. You know what? Kyler Murray's not getting his bag. Do you think it'll motivate him to play better? It should. If it doesn't, something's wrong.
Yeah.
If it doesn't motivate him to play better and start studying some damn film, then something's wrong. So I think we could all kind of have feelings for what may happen. I would really highly doubt that he has any reason to be mad. If you're mad, be mad at yourself. Be mad at yourself. You didn't play well enough to get a new deal.
Sure, and be willing to look in the mirror and figure out what it is that you're not doing well enough that needs to be better. Yeah, the watch some film comment you made a second ago. It was making the rounds yesterday on social media. I had no idea what anybody was talking about, so I went and looked it up. There was a New York Times story from December 23rd of 2021, so just a few weeks ago, inside the mind of Kyler Murray. And it was a largely complimentary piece about Kyler and the season that he was leading the Cardinals to in the New York Times. And the quote that I'm assuming was catching everybody's attention in that story, and I didn't notice this back on December 23rd. We didn't talk about it, I don't think. Quote, "I think I was blessed with the cognitive skills to just go out there and see it before it happens. I'm not one of those guys that's going to sit there and kill myself watching film. I don't sit there for 24 hours and break down this team and that team and watch every game, because in my head, I see so much," close quote. And I think that quote was making the rounds yesterday on social media, not because he said it, you know, within the last couple of days, but because he said it a couple of weeks ago, as if it were a reflection of, is he preparing as hard as he can? Is he working as hard as he can? Is he doing everything he can? And I can understand why some Cardinals fans might have seen that quote and wonder, you know, hey, is this the guy we really want to give $40 million to unless some things change? I don't know. It's just, I know a lot of Cardinal fans were talking about it yesterday, Gambo, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and it's going to continue to be talked about, right? Because here's an interesting question. I want to get your opinion on this too, and I know we're running out of time before the break, but with DeAndre, it got taken right up to the wire, right up until the deadline.
Yes.
That there was still the ability to maybe get a deal done. I don't think that this is going to drag on very long. I think it's going to be, he's not getting a new deal. And then it'll go away. I don't think that we'll be talking about whether Kyler's going to get a new deal for the next 3 months.
I don't think we will. No, I don't. Not like we were with DeAndre. No. I think the deadline's not until May, if I remember right. I don't think it's going to be a conversation like that, like it was then. It's a basic question. It's a very complex answer. What's next for the Cardinals? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
Time for your What's On Tonight. The games we're going to be watching this evening. Locally speaking, one team in action tonight. It's the Coyotes. They're taking on the Devils. The game is actually underway. They're already in the first intermission. And New Jersey is beating the Arizona Coyotes 1-0 after the end of the first period. So there you go.
Locally, right.
That's,
there you go.
That's what we got. There's a lot of NBA on tonight, not obviously involving the Phoenix Suns, but there are a ton of games tonight. I'm looking to see if there's anybody.
And you've got your HBO Max show, right?
Station 11, yeah. Which yeah. Station 11 is not an easy watch. It's not very comfortable.
I almost went there.
I don't.
It was between that and a Netflix show called Archive 81.
Okay.
And we started Archive 81, which I think you would freaking love. It's The Shining all over again.
Then I'll check it out.
This is totally, I'm telling you, I know you. Totally a Dave Burns movie.
All right.
Archive 81. It's a series. It's not a movie. It's a series. TV series.
I know you. I would not recommend Station 11 to you.
I saw the preview.
I know you. It's just, you know how your issue with Quentin Tarantino movies is that it kind of jumps all over the timeline, right?
I can't.
This whole show. It's like, it's in the past, it's in the future, it's in the present.
I'm not afraid to admit this. I'm not smart enough to follow shows that don't go in chronological order.
Yeah, you're very.
I need the beginning, the middle, and the end. If you start going the end to the beginning and then to the middle, and I'm like, what's going on?
We would call you a very linear thinker, right? You're a very, you know, point A, point B, point C kind of, and that's there's nothing wrong with that. Station 11 is, I almost said Ocean's 11. Station 11 is not a very linear show at all. It's in the past, and then it's 7 years later and 20 years later, but then 2 years before and then 5 years later. And if you don't feel like you could, I don't know if I'd recommend that for you.
Yeah.
It's
I wish I was smarter.
No, it's just not everybody, you know, not everybody's.
Not everybody can follow along.
Not everybody can follow along with a show like that. If NBA is your jam and you're looking for games that may or may not impact the Suns, Utah's in action tonight. Taking on the Rockets. One thing interesting about Utah, Donovan Mitchell is in concussion protocol. The Suns play the Utah Jazz next Monday and next Wednesday. Now, I don't know how long typically an NBA player takes to get out of concussion protocol, but no Donovan Mitchell tonight for that game against the Rockets, and I'll be curious to see if, you know, what his availability is when they play the Suns on Monday and Wednesday of next week, kind of a back-to-back set against the Utah Jazz that I'm very much looking forward to from a Suns perspective.
Yeah.
Very much looking forward to.
Yeah, and with the trade deadline coming up, a lot of names being bandied about that I keep hearing about and keep checking on. And, you know, Eric Gordon was another one of those names that, yeah, I think the Suns like him. I think they really do. So do a lot of other teams. So we'll just keep our eye on what's going to happen when it comes to, you know, the trade deadline and whether they make a move or not.
Yeah, and it's, we're still a few weeks away from the trade deadline. And if you missed it, DeAndre Ayton has been ruled out by the Suns. He will not play in tomorrow's game against the Dallas Mavericks. That, according to our own Kellen Olson. And by the way, since we're just letting it all hang out right now, congratulations to our own Kevin Zimmerman, one of our lead writers over at ArizonaSports.com. Became a father for the first time today. Congratulations to Kevin Zimmerman.
Did Kevin Zimmerman? Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, he
that is great.
Tweeted out about an hour ago. I walked into the office Monday ready to work Cardinals-Rams. I left 3 minutes later. This guy hit me up with a hurry-up offense as I jogged my base defense off the field for a sub package.
Good
for him. He and his mom killed it, and it's a cute picture of his baby boy. So congratulations.
They're all grown. All these web guys, Tyler Drake's a dad, and Zim, they're all grown up right before our eyes.
Yeah. You have shown up all season for the Redbirds, and Redburn Farbs Chicken wants to thank you for your support of the Fan of the Game. Text the word FAN to 620-620. Enter for a chance to win $400 to the team shop. Again, text the word FAN to 620-620. Bill Barnwell wrote a piece today about the Arizona Cardinals and kind of looking ahead what they need to address what's next for the Cardinals. He had a very strong suggestion. Don't star chase. Go get some depth because your lack of depth was exposed as the season wore along. Not a bad suggestion.
Yeah, I think that chasing stars if, like, the Rams did it, and it kind of worked with Odell Beckham Jr. and Von Miller. So there's a time to do it. But I also think that the Cardinals' depth got really there was so many injuries this year. And that depth got challenged to the point when they got down to their fifth and sixth cornerbacks. Man, we were closing our eyes when a ball went up in the air. Oh, there's a pass. I'm not going to look. Oh, Borders got beat again. Kevin Peterson got beat. We started to worry. So I do think it's you know, but you know, I mean, the depth at quarterback was much better this year with Colt McCoy, and in certain areas like the offensive line, it was good. But I would tend to agree that the depth is going to be an area that they have to address.
Yeah, it's just as the season wore along, you just can't count on having DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt and two or three stars available all year. That's just you saw how things went when those guys weren't available. That's going to do it for us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We are out of here. We're going to see you tomorrow straight up 2 o'clock here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Have a great night, everyone.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.